This event comes up Saturday and Sunday, so tell us about what we can expect at the museum this weekend.
Yeah, it's the only event we do at the museum that is actually two full days. We have to have the entire weekend to talk space stuff.
So great.
Because people are so excited. People want to know so much about what's going on in the universe and how what we learn about out in the universe applies to us here on the planet. And so, yeah, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, we're doing all things space.
And when I was reading about it earlier this week, there's so many things that you can talk about, right? Like we talk about constellations trying to find the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, but we're also going to talk about, you know, going to space and what it's like and people who feed the astronauts. I mean, there are so many different things available for folks to just come out and learn about, Chris.
What I think is so cool about this event is exactly that anything you're interested in space, you can come learn about. So you want to learn about black holes? Quasars? Yeah, come to Astronomy Days because we've got the experts who are going to be going up on stage doing presentations, and you can learn as much as you care to learn about that stuff. If you want to know how we blast rockets into space, guess what? Come to Astronomy Days, build a rocket yourself, and then take it outside the museum, put it on a launch pad, and see how high you can get your rocket to go. There's rumors that there's secret prizes if you land your rocket on top of the museum, but that's not official. All the way out to, you know, like, what is it like to go into space?
Yeah.
And then how do you survive in space? How's an astronaut that goes to Mars in the next few years, hopefully, maybe, going to survive there? How does an astronaut who's on the International Space Station right now continue to survive? And so one of the things we're doing that's really exciting this year is we have a super special guest, Vicky Cloris, who just retired as the manager of space food systems at Johnson Space Center.
Oh.
So she's been feeding the astronauts since the beginning of the shuttle program, like back in the 1980s.
Wow.
So she knows everything about every drop of food and drink that an astronaut has taken into space. And behind all of that is all this amazing like chemistry and science and food preservation so that the astronauts don't have to like always eat just like dried crumbles of food that they rehydrate with cold water or something.
It's crazy. It's just the science behind it is just unbelievable. I'm just so fascinated by all that.
Well, you know, I brought with me.
You did.
So one of the most popular things we sell in the museum's gift shop is astronaut ice cream. People listening might be familiar with this stuff because it's an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And I brought you Neapolitan. I don't know what flavor
that's
you would
fine.
Like.
Yeah.
And it's freeze-dried ice cream. So all of the moisture's been sucked out and you're just left with kind of this crumbly ice creamy stuff. And the idea is that, you know, you just sort of break it off, you put it in your mouth, and it just sort of melts away into this creaminess.
Yeah.
People have varying opinions on how good astronaut ice cream really is.
I'm going to take a bite, okay?
Go ahead and crack that open.
Okay.
But the science behind what astronauts
eat. It looks just like an ice cream sandwich, too.
I love wrap it all up. Isn't it fun?
This is amazing.
And, you know, like back during the Apollo program, for example, astronauts, yes. Food preservation and how to get food into space, we didn't know a whole lot.
So am I supposed to chew this or just let it dissolve?
Whatever works for you is my approach to astronaut ice cream.
Tastes like a regular ice cream sandwich.
There you go.
It's great.
And you're right. You don't have to haul a freezer up into space.
It's really nice.
In order to have an ice cream sandwich. And so, you know, the astronauts on the space station right now drink hot coffee every day if they want it.
Really?
How do they do that? How does that work without them just having little crystals? You know, it's not just some instant coffee that they stir up. So there's all kinds of great stuff to learn from Vicky. Of course, we've got special guest presentations happening across both buildings in the museum all day, every day, literally any topic on space science that you could be interested in.
This is so
Plus games, crafts, activities. We got stuff for all ages. Come build a Mars rover out of like bottle caps and plastic bottles, launch a rocket, talk to NASA JPL solar system ambassadors, see how much you would weigh on the moon or on Mars or on Jupiter with special activities, make your own craters to study how the surface of the moon looks.
You can do it all.
Everything.
You can spend all day there.
Really? I hope people spend all day both days.
The rocket that people are going to launch, right?
Yeah.
Have you done one before?
I do it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
It's one of my most favorite things because I set up a slow motion camera so I can get my reaction to launching the rocket. Because what we do is you get a 2-liter bottle. And then you can decorate it with wing fins and a nose cone and stuff like that. And then you take it outside the museum, put it on our hydraulic pressure valves. Then we pump water into it, pressurize the whole thing, and then you get to yank a cord to launch your rocket. And we see how good your rocket is. Like, does it go straight up into the air? Does it tumble end over end? What's re-entry like on its way back
what's
down?
Re-entry like?
Last year, I launched a rocket, and everything, all of my wing fins, my nose cone, all of my great design, I thought I was a pretty good engineer with my rocket.
Yeah.
Nope, everything ripped off immediately on launch. My rocket, rapid disassembly on launch. That's not what you want your rocket to do.
What's the highest you've gotten your rocket to go?
I've gotten a rocket at least 30 feet.
No kidding.
At least 30 feet. And I put it out there for everybody coming to Astronomy Days to beat 30 feet.
Is that the record?
I might as well say it's the
record.
Okay, yeah. That's how far mine have gone, so I'm going to say that.
You're the authority on it.
Mine are the best.
You're the only one doing the interview, so you can say what you want to say.
Look, the folks that come to Astronomy Days, they're so cool. They're so into this space stuff. And they so enjoy the activities and the people that they get to meet.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
just fun to be in that environment where everyone is having fun, everyone is learning, and that whatever you're interested in, if you want to nerd out about it, you are surrounded by people who also want to nerd out about that thing with you.
Remind us of the day, the times, the tickets, where you can get the tickets, all that good stuff.
Okay, yeah. My favorite thing about Astronomy Days is that it's free.
No kidding.
You just show up.
Oh.
So Saturday, February 1st, Sunday, February 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., just come to the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh and walk in the front door, and it is all there for you to take in.
And this is for everybody, like kids, adults. I mean, you could be
oh yeah,
eight years old or 800 years old.
We've got stuff going on for really young kids in the discovery room where they can engage with space through play and other activities, you know, like animals of the mm-hmm. constellations kind of stuff, all the way out to, you know, if you want to sit inside a lecture hall and listen to space experts just give you all the information that's in their brain, then you can do that as well.
That's great stuff. Astronomy Day is coming up this weekend at the Museum of Natural Sciences. Thanks so much for being here, Chris Smith. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me.